Maybe. Yeah, there we go. Make sure things working. Okay, today's August the 11th, 1998. Just go ahead and state your name so we'll know who I'm talking to.
Genevieve Stacy Average.
Okay, and I guess let's just start off, Jan. Tell me where you grew up. I know you're from Knott County, but...
I grew up in Erie, Kentucky, near Home Place Clinic, in a rural area called Lick-Branch-a-Ball.
Okay. And tell me a little bit about your family, like how many brothers and sisters and things.
Two brothers, no sisters.
Okay. And now, I guess we should start out, what year did you graduate?
72.
72, okay. And now, you lived on this campus, right, when you were in school here?
4 years.
Okay. But so, did you go to grade school in Highland, or?
No, went to a one-room school, which the teachers were provided at that time through the Highland Settlement School.
Okay.
Lauren Kramer was my elementary teacher that I remember that was provided through the Settlement School.
And that was over at Erie?
Right.
Okay. So how did you know about the Settlement School, or how did you end up coming here to stay? Because in the 70s, a lot of people didn't do that, so.
All of my cousins and, extended family, we lived in such a remote, the area was so rural, because the creek and the holler grew up on was 8 miles long on a dirt road.
So there was
no busing, so which, if you went to high school, it would have meant you'd had to walk 8 miles out to meet a bus, 8 miles back every evening, so that was impossible. But with the elementary school, which was built by our family, and like I said, the Settlement School was very instrumental in even community outreach ongoing from early onset, providing, quality education to the people in the local area and communities. So we would not have had the opportunity to have got a high school education. So all of my cousins and extended family came here to the Settlement School if they went to high school, or their families actually had to move or let their children live with someone in the Hazard area in order to go to high school at MC Napier or in the Hazard school system.
Okay. Gosh, I guess that would be. I mean, you'd think in the 70s that it wouldn't be, there's still, I mean, there were so many rural spots, like you said.
There was busing, but you...
You had to go to it.
Right.
Gosh, no. So when you decided to come here, did either of your brothers come here?
Both brothers.
Were you here at the same time as them, or were you here by yourself?
I was here with my oldest brother because he actually worked here on campus. He was a dorm father.
Oh, okay.
My brother Kelly Stacy was a dorm father here.
Mm-hmm.
So I was here while he was employed by the school.
Okay. When you first came, did you get homesick? Was it hard to kind of get used to as you...
Yeah. It's kind of like... But it was a growing experience. And I wasn't as... Probably as likely to have got homesick and miss being home because I had my brother here. And I knew if anything went wrong, I could always get him to come and be there.
Yeah.
So I had an advantage.
Yeah, that's why I was asking that, because I remember that we talked before about him, and I thought, well, people that I've talked to seem to have an easier time if they had somebody here with them that they knew, and that getting it helped a little bit, I guess. Well, I guess let's just start off, where did you live when you were here?
Okay, I lived in Westover, which is now the location of the Human Services Center.
Okay.
And that's been torn down. I lived there my freshman year. Sophomore year, moved into the May Stone Building, into the dormitory area there, sophomore and junior year. And then the senior year, the Catherine Pettit Building had been under construction during my first 3 years. Then it actually opened up the senior year, and all the senior girls got to move up there because that was built for dormitory use. So all the seniors got to move into the Catherine Pettit Building.
What was it like living in the little dorms in the Maytown Building? I mean, because there's no privacy. I was just wondering if it was...
Actually...
Or was it fun?
Westover was fun.
Was it?
It was cozy and quaint and like memories of girls running up and down the stairs, you can still hear it. And, huge pine tree, you know, shaded the whole building. I think the stumps do, it's over there. Anyway, Mrs. Stahl was our dorm mother, and she always made hook rugs. And I always was back early on Sunday because my brother had to come back early to be here when all the boys came in. And she would always pull out all of her pretties and show you. And I can just remember her with her snow white hair, and we developed this closeness because I always came back early, you know, talk to her, right? And but it was very quaint. We had bunk beds. Everybody had a roommate, if not two. Mm-hmm. You got very close to those people. Mm-hmm. You know, you still, it was like family. You spent 24 hours together.
Yeah.
You know, you walked to school, ate, did, you know, you were with each other all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So you developed real close friendships. Living in Maystone building, even more closeness because it wasn't separated much with just the bunk beds and the stalls in there. Westover's a lot better because you kind of could close the door and separate yourself from the whole group.
Yeah.
We had study halls. There was always a real need to excel. There was a lot of emphasis placed on making good grades, whereas I think some of the kids have lost sight of that in today's education.
Was that part of your living here that you were expected to study? Or?
You had to maintain a B or above average grade.
Wow.
Or you got to, yes, because there was a waiting list. It's obvious, you know, because there was just limited amount of people who could board here.
Mm-hmm.
So you were expected to maintain a certain academic standard.
Mm-hmm.
And your grades were posted. I remember Mrs. Earp was always in charge of posting your grades. That's why it's really hard for me to see her on a friendship type basis she's on campus, because, you know, I worked under her. I worked her in the laundry, worked for her in the office. You know, she was the one who would point her finger at you and say, "You better be here Sunday for CE." And that was a Christian Endeavorance program that we had every Sunday.
Was she in charge of that?
She was in charge of that.
What did y'all do at that?
We sang. She played the piano while we sang, and we read scripture. Some Sundays, if they were having revival at the local Baptist church or the Methodist church, we would attend that as a unit from the Settlement School representing the school.
Mm-hmm.
So not only did we get a very good education here, academic, but we learned the quality of work, social skills. We had a certain religious rapport that, you know, we developed, you know, a respect for elders and each other, you know, people in general.
Yeah. Well, how did you feel about that at the time, like the Christian Endeavor, going to things like that? Was it something you thought, "Oh, I don't want to go back to that," or?
There was times when it was just like, you know, I need to study for this. It's really, that at the time it didn't seem to be that important to me.
What about now, I guess, thinking about it?
Now I think it's the greatest thing that you know, I could have experienced.
Mm-hmm.
Because it instilled in me a wanting and need, you know, to serve the Lord and to do the right thing. So, you know, and I would have got that at home.
Right.
But having such a larger group and having peers of my own age to share that with and be a part of constantly, it had a greater impact.
That's what, because I was just asking because people have mentioned that to me, the CE program and how it just, at the time I just kind of went, but now thinking back.
Because it was required.
Right, just how you would, like I'm required to go to staff and I'm sure later on I'll appreciate it, you know, but that's why I was asking that.
Right.
Well, that's interesting that you mentioned about Miss Earp because, of course, she's such an important part of the settlement school and is still part of it. But what was she like then? I mean, cause as you said, she was, when she worked here and you were a student, what was kind of her personality?
I'll always remember Miss Earp as putting her head back and laughing. Always happy.
Yeah.
But yet very stern. But she could reprimand you without you feeling being reprimanded, more like a guidance.
Mm-hmm.
And even though she never had children of her own, I think anytime anyone, an alumnus comes back to campus, if Miss Earp's on campus, they will search her out. That's the kind of impact she's had.
That's kind of what I thought, just because I have interviewed her and talked to her about a few things, and I just thought it was fascinating to think of her.
So she's kind of like an old mother hen, you know, with her wings outstretched, and we all could, you know, you could go to her with your problems, and they didn't go any farther than just to her.
Mm-hmm.
She could talk to her about stuff.
That's always good. What sort of work did you do? You mentioned a couple things just like in passing, but when you were here.
Okay, at the girls as freshmen, it was understood. When you were a freshman, you're KP. You did kitchen detail.
So that was probably the worst.
That was the worst. You started at, just like in any job, you know, you got to start somewhere. So you started, that was considered low. And then every year you moved up. And the more qualified you got, the better jobs you got. So it was, you know, you tried to do a good job so that you could get the better work assignments.
Yeah.
So it was based on attitude and quality of work and performance. So work that I did, freshman year, of course, kitchen. Sophomore year, I worked in the laundry with Miss Earp. And my junior year, I worked in the office with Miss Earp in Pretty Fields. In my senior year, I'm ashamed to say I didn't work because I ran track and I got to practice extra 2 hours.
Oh.
So sometimes me and 3 other girls, so I wasn't the only one.
Yeah.
So that was part of our work too, because it was something that we had got involved in. It's kind of like basketball practice. It was still work. I mean, I would rather have been sitting in the office behind typewriter as out running, but we were required to run anywhere from 5 to 8 miles a day for practice. So
you were on that team?
Yeah.
Wow. So what other things were you active in, I guess, in high school besides track? Other sports or?
Band. I was drum major and first chair clarinet and was on the dance team, we had folk dance team.
Mm-hmm.
And that kept pretty busy.
Yeah.
Plus keeping a B average. Mm-hmm. So you had to, you know, work hard.
Did y'all have structured study tables, or like when you were here, was there a certain time that you sat down studied at night, or?
Everything was structured. You came in from school, you worked your 2 hours, then we had dinner. Everyone sat at an assigned table. We had a staff person head of every table.
Mm-hmm.
We all started eating at the same time. We all got up at the same time. Then we went back to the dorm and got our work for study. If you didn't have anything to study, you came to study hall anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And we had study hall for an hour, went back to the dorms.
Where did you go for study hall?
In the great hall.
Great hall.
Right, this table set up.
Yeah.
And we had study hall, and then went back to the dorms, got ready for the next day, lights out 10.
Wow. That is pretty structured, even for, I guess, for high school.
Yep. So, and then Mrs. Stahl was kind of, she was lenient about letting us keep lights, you know, on, mm-hmm. studying more if you needed to. But then again, you know, you could close the door. And Mrs. Hall, who was over Maystone, was this little short lady, and she reminded me of a little sergeant. Everything was ho-hum, and she was matter-of-fact, and no second-guessing her. She ran a tight ship, but when lights was out, and we used to hide in the closets in there in the Maystone, and put up pillows or something to darken the vents on the closet so that we could study longer if we had.
Oh my gosh.
Really. And she
was a stickler.
Yeah, but she didn't want anyone to be disturbed, so.
Yeah. I might have to tell my roommate to do that if I want to go to sleep. Stick her in the closet. Start studying there. Who was your house mother or dorm mother when you lived up at the new place?
Amrit Wiley. And she was here from Anchorage, Alaska. I think, besides Pretty Fields, she had the greatest impact of influence in my life. Highly religious, not in that sense. She was remarkably close with the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
In my sophomore year, I was baptized. We had a study group, you know, where we'd study the Bible, and she just had a major impact. And of course, that wasn't required like the CE. It was a more in-depth group, and just a wonderful person, very very strong. I got a lot of how do I want to say it? A lot of guidance from her. In a hard time in my life, you know, being away from home, being away from your mother, and a lot of guidance. There was a lot of people here. Most all the people who came to work here, not only, they weren't here for the money. They were here because, you know, it's like a mission.
Yeah.
And they were just good people who wanted to help, you know, in education.
Mm-hmm. Well, now, when you were here on campus, do you have any idea how many people were living on campus, like an estimate?
135.
In the 70s?
Mm-hmm.
Gosh, so I didn't know that.
Right. There was Westover, Hillside, which is where Miss Watts is buried.
Mm-hmm.
And that burnt my junior year, New Year's Eve. New Year's Eve, and the McLeans. Raymond McLean was the director then, and it caught on fire from the dryer.
Oh, God.
And we were having a New Year's Eve party down in the Maystone. Everyone was down there, and they came running down the hill saying that the house was on fire, Ruth McLean.
Awful.
And they couldn't put it out because it was just, you know, an older building. It went up in just a matter of a few minutes. It was gone.
Yeah.
So they lost everything. It was very sad.
So Mr. McLean was the director when you
right.
were here.
He left that year. My senior year, Lionel Duff came on board.
Okay.
So, and the we would have, like, part of the office work, we sent out mass mailings like we do now, the newsletters mm-hmm. and the appeal letters and so on. And everyone would get together in the dining room, and we'd set up folding tables. We'd have a stuffing parties, we called it.
Oh,
and
everybody did it.
Yeah, and
huh.
we would get the mailings all out in one evening while the McLeans, you know, the McLean family band, that was when they were first in their early stages
mm-hmm.
of playing and starting, and they would entertain us while we'd have the stuffing party. So that was a fond memory, too.
Yeah.
So.
Mm-hmm. Well, what were some changes, like, after McLean left that you saw when Lionel Duff came? I mean, was there, anything that you want to get into or don't want to get into? I know how stuff like that works or questions like that work. So.
Well, there was, in any change, I think there's good and bad.
Right.
There was an unrest in the student body. Mr. Duff, I felt like he was overly strict. He really did not have to be as strict as he was, because I don't think he looked at the clientele of the students that he had here. First of all, you wanted to be here.
Mm-hmm.
It, you know, you didn't have to stay.
Right.
And anywhere there is boys and girls, you're going to have hand-holding and attractions, but you weren't allowed to even look at a boy, let alone hold a hand, or you were sent home. And I think that was the most negative thing at that time that I saw. But looking back, he was retired,
mm-hmm.
in a sense. And I really, they should have had a younger person, per se, like if your father had come in, like Mike had been here at that time, there would have been a new spirit. It would have been a rebirth of the institution.
Mm-hmm.
But it was, I don't know, it's kind of sad in a way.
Yeah.
Because there was the students weren't as happy. That's, mm-hmm. as best as I can describe,
yeah.
it.
No, that's good. That's fine. And so you graduated in 72.
Right.
And then, and now you, just for the record, you work here at the settlement as administrative assistant. How many years have you been working here?
15.
15 years. And I guess, how did you end up back here? Since, I mean, this is where you went to school. You lived here. You left it as a thing, you know. And, I mean, had a son. And then this is where you've been for 15 years working. What's that kind of like, to be at the place? Or to still be a part of the place that you were part of in high
sometimes
school.
There's ghosts here.
Yeah.
But, and it's hard sometimes, because when I first came back, it was really different, because I had this attitude, well, that's not how we did things, and excuse me, but that's correct. That's not how things were done then, because this is a new institution now. It's taken on a new facelift. It's got a new vitality and growth, and it's just an extension of what I was saying earlier. But I worked with Mike Mullins at Alsley College, and he called one day, and I'd been there 11 years,
mm-hmm.
and he called one day and said, how would you like to come back to the Hyman Settlement School to work? We've got a computer system, and you need someone to come in and help set up development files and databases and so on. And if you'd be interested, you know, come look situation over. And I was a single mom, and Jonathan had actually grown up here on this campus.
Mm-hmm.
There was a daycare, and there wasn't quality child care in the area, and I was just so fortunate to have this place to have him come and stay daily,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I didn't have to worry about him. He got a real good foundation for kindergarten and having an inquisitive mind, you know. It was a really a good place for him.
Mm-hmm.
So I had an additional tie and love for this institution. So when Mike called me and planted that, you know, opportunity there in my mind, and it was really time for me to leave the college. I had pretty well decided that it was time for me to look for another position somewhere,
mm-hmm.
else and so on. So, needless to say, I came and took the job and gave a 5-year verbal commitment, which has just kept extending.
Yeah.
But, you know, I have no desire to be anywhere else. I believe in what we are doing here.
Mm-hmm.
I believe in the quality of work, and you couldn't ask for a better environment. And we all work very hard here. But I believe that every day, you know, when we see one of our students graduate from the dyslexic program and where an adult gets a GED, you know, the work that we do behind the scenes, you know, it's worth it. It's worth all the effort.
So I guess in your opinion, since you do have, I mean, like you said, you have a lot of ties to this place. It's where you graduated. Your son kind of grew up here, and this is where you worked for 15 years. So it's a much a part of you as anything else. And looking at it from the standpoint of, like you said, somebody that works here, how important do you think, in your opinion, the settlement school is to this area? I mean, not just to Hindman, but to, like, Knott County and surrounding areas at this present time, like, because it is a lot different than it was when you were here. But now, looking at the programs today and the things that go on today, in your opinion, what kind of impact do you think that it's having, that the school's having?
Well, as you know, as far as myself, provides an income. But if you were to ask someone like Florida Sloan,
mm-hmm.
who can now read,
mm-hmm.
or Twyla Messer, who is now a teacher, you know, those are the people that they're the ones that this school's made the greatest impact on.
Mm-hmm.
And when you start looking at someone who doesn't even know where these clothes come from, who lost their home,
mm-hmm.
you know,
yeah.
And they don't need to know, or a student who gets $500 a year to help buy books and so on through a scholarship.
Mm-hmm.
And even my son, you know, even though I work here, you know, what value, what impact this place had on his life. That's, I think, if we did not have this institution, where would those people be?